The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree, and therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing with water for repentance, but one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. The Word of God today introduces us to John the Baptist. He has a very important but a measured experience in the Gospels. I mean, as he appears to us, he is mentioned here to proclaim the coming of the Lord, and that appears in all four Gospels. We will have him again next Sunday, and his new message will come to us from the reading next Sunday, which also comes from Matthew in chapter 11. And then we won't hear of him for a while. Stay in the Gospel of Matthew, and way out there into the preaching and Jesus' public life, we'll hear about John the Baptist and his martyrdom. Remember Salome and the dance, and, you know, then he was beheaded. You remember this story about Salome? Well, I should really pause for a minute and tell you an apocryphal story about, on one occasion, the bishop was in a parish for confirmation. And it was a progressive kind of forward parish. And at the offertory procession, they had a woman, a dancer, come up with the gifts. The bishop was a little bit alarmed. And he turned to the pastor and said, "If she asks for your head, I'll give it to her." So that was the death of John the Baptist. It appears only in two Gospels, but we'll deal with that next week. John is in the desert. He's severe. He's judgmental. He's binary in his thinking. He's black and white. While he announces Jesus, he doesn't know who Jesus is. We still have a culture of religion that invokes John the Baptist, a severity, legalism, a binary thinking. People who don't measure up will be condemned to unquenchable fire. We still have that here and there. Not as much as we used to, thank God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we are called not to follow John the Baptist, not to follow his teaching. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist did not know the good news proclaimed in Jesus Christ. John lamented, Jesus rejoiced. John didn't eat bread, Jesus broke bread. John drank no wine, Jesus in Cana turned water into wine. John wore clothing made of camel's skin. Jesus wore contemporary clothing at the time. John condemned sinners. Jesus welcomed sinners. Here's the tension between John and the good news revealed in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean to us? Every life is a story. We are born of 1,000 people. We're born of our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors. And we carry with us all their blessings and all their burdens. We carry all their charisms and all their limitations. We each and every person has a story. Look at your own life and you'll find out there's a story to your life. And the manner of our story will influence the next generation and many generations to come, influence them for good or for ill. But our story will be told again. Now, the Irish mystic fellow, John Moriarty, had this to say. He said, you will find, if you look at the story of your life, there are times when you will fall out of your story. You will fall away from your story, says John Moriarty, and then you will recover and go back into your story again, so that there's light and darkness, there are good days and bad days in the story of a life. So what does this mean to us? Well, looking at the story of my own life, reflecting on John the Baptist and the good news in Jesus Christ, I look back. And for 30 years, I had a spiritual director that revealed the true Jesus Christ to me. When I was discouraged, he uplifted me. When I was in sin, he affirmed me in the forgiveness of God's infinite love. When I was in doubt, he strengthened my faith. When I was on the margins of despair, he gave me hope. He taught me by his tenderness and his kindness the true meaning of God revealed in Jesus Christ. He taught me that the only experience you can have of the true Jesus Christ must begin in darkness, in a darkness where you can only see the light. Look at the life of Jesus. He welcomed sinners. He broke bread with sinners. He forgave the woman taken in adultery. He accepted into the paradise the unrepentant thief on the cross. Who would know about this incredible love of Jesus Christ? Only the sinner knows. People who have no sin will never know the wonder of God's forgiveness. People who have never lost hope will never begin to reach out to touch the fullness of God revealed in Jesus Christ. People who don't suffer will never understand God's revelation in a suffering Messiah. Indiscriminately, he fed 5,000 who were hungry, but only the hungry will know. Only those who are hungry will know that God's love welcomes all people who are genuinely hungry for a new understanding of God. Conversion, a change within a person. will never be affected by fear, by threat, by condemnation. A conversion within a person will happen only out of tenderness, of kindness, of forgiveness, of generosity. Conversion is the child of love. Look at your own life. The people that most influenced you in your life were people who sacrificed for you, who blessed you, who believed in you, who forgave you, who welcomed you. People who saw you in darkness and lifted you up and brought you into a new place in your life. That's conversion. And I read my own story and wrote my journals during the week. And I remembered that I was called into discipleship with Jesus Christ, not in spite of my weakness, but because of my weakness. I was called because I was impoverished, so that in my weakness I would reveal the wonder of God's love. For if I presumed to be full of virtue, I presumed to be sinless, I would never reveal the good news of Jesus Christ. Every life is a story. And the true teaching of the Word of God is given only to those who have suffered, only those who have experienced darkness, only to those who have struggled, needed forgiveness, needed a word of welcome. All the people on the margins, they'll all show up for Christmas. We'll have like 12, 13 masses here at Christmas. Sometimes I wish, maybe I should tell them, have a happy Easter, because I won't see them again until Easter. But it's fine. They all belong. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's not the teaching of John the Baptist. The teaching of Jesus Christ. Carl Jung, this renowned psychiatrist, in his wisdom, over the door of his house, the entrance, and over his grave, there is a statement. Vocatus atque non vocatus, Deus adorat, which means, literally, called or not called, God is present. Whether we know it or we don't know it, God is present in our lives. Vocatus atque non vocatus, Deus adorat. Wherever you are in your life, God is there. God is with you. You may not know that until you go through darkness, sorrow, reversal, until you are in sin and you reach out forgiveness, until you're hopeless and you reach out your hand for a place to give you hope, until you are on the margins of despair and you're looking for a place and a person and an experience that will give meaning to your life. Only then, I believe, can you truly experience the fullness of God revealed in Jesus Christ. So take the most difficult moments in your life, reframe them, and begin to look deeper and find these moments are a genuine call of the Holy Spirit to rediscover the true meaning of God's presence in Jesus Christ. Amen.